This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again on old Dan. Come on, Dan, let's go. Got to get up. Got to get a getting. Get on down there where folks are waiting around to hear the Old Trailblazer. So we're happy to be with you folks at this time. Old Dan's been faithful and bringing us out every day. And so we're just happy to have you folks with us. And we're bringing you these studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. We've been there quite a while. We're not going too fast. We hope we're not. And I had a lady call me, wrote me the other day, said, "You give your name and address too quickly, Pastor." I'm going to do that right now. It's the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And my name is Albert Pendarvis, Pendarvis, P-E-N-D-A-R-V-I-S. And it doesn't bother me if you misspell it a little bit, but we'll get it. We'll get your letter or your email. If you want to email me, it's pastor@radiomissions.org. Well, let's get back to our study now. The Lord has been gracious to us, bringing us through these studies. We look there at the fall of Jericho. We're looking in that area there. And looking now at that 11th chapter, the 32nd verse. And let's read. "And what shall I say more? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and the Samson and Jephthah and also of David and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, and escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, and turned the flight of the armies of the aliens." Turned that whole flight. Now, this is one of what I believe, one of the greatest scriptures that you can find in the Bible on talking about conquering faith. That's what we're studying in this scripture. Faith, conquering faith. That's what we're looking at. What faith will do in Christ. Now, let's take it up and look at that 33rd verse for our study at this time. "Who through faith subdued kingdoms." That's what happened. I've told my folks here in the last few weeks while we're studying this, I've told them in our regular services here, go there and read the whole book of Joshua. And many of them have told me, "Boy, I've gotten a blessing out of reading that book." So if you haven't done that, you go there and read it. And let's look at that. "Who through faith subdued kingdom." Now he's going to look at the individual's life, to men who were in places of authority, lived and wrought and believed and fought and subdued and conquered by faith. Who through faith subdued, who through faith conquered, who through faith fought battles and came out more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's Romans 8:37. Now, let me tell you something, folks. You can trust the Lord. You can, if you know the Lord, you can trust him. You can. You can go day by day in the Lord's strength. The only thing God wants today is a man to work through, a woman who will believe him, and that's all. That's all. God's hunting for men who will believe him and hunting for women who will believe him. And then it won't be hard. If you believe the Lord, trust the Lord. It is said one of our great men of God, there was old General Booth back there many, many years ago, the founder of the Salvation Army, that in his life, He moved all over the world, and in the last closing days of his life, it is said that reporters would follow him around over the campuses of universities asking him one question: "Mr. Booth, what's the secret of your power over the hearts of men?" He said, "I don't know." One reporter rented a room next to his in the hotel where he stayed during an engagement at a university where he was speaking, watching him when he'd come in, listened to him while he was in his room, watched him while he was on the campus, followed him around, still did not understand. What was the secret of his power? It can be answered in one little phrase: he believed God. He walked with God. Now, I tell you this morning, tonight, God's hunting for men who will believe him. I asked you, will you believe the Lord? I've been reading also the life story of Mr. George Mueller there in England. Many of you may have read that story, how he took care of all of those orphans. He started off just a small scale, and by faith, he never asked the public for $1. Not $1 did he ever ask the public for. Now, my friend, that's faith. Did you know it? That's faith. Oh, it was often said that he'd have the children sitting around the breakfast table. There'd be nothing on the table but the plates and forks and knives. No bread, no milk. And as they were sitting there, he would be praying, and the milk truck would back up to the door, and the bread truck would come into the other door, and they'd have breakfast. Oh, my friend, listen, let's see what faith does. Faith is nothing in the world but believing the Lord Jesus Christ, believing the Lord God of heaven, just believing him. If there is not the grace of faith in the heart of man, he's without God and without hope in the world. That faith at first may be like a grain of mustard seed, probably the smallest seed that you can imagine, but listen, has the principle of life in it, and will eventually produce the plant. And listen, mold and shape and move that man's life. Now that's what faith is. Now, before we go any further, let's notice what is the origin of your faith. Let's make it personal. We're speaking on saving faith in our next message, I believe will be, and under the title, Faith That Leads to Salvation. They're both linked together. What's the origin of your faith? There's a dead faith, dead because it produces no fruit, no works. You say, I'm saved, I believe God, but it produces no fruit, it produces no works. James said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith with my works. That's James 2:18. But let me say something, folks. The Lord never has had a hothouse Christian. You remember I've said that to you once or twice before? No, when the Lord saves a sinner, he gives him grace, he gives him faith to just believe the Lord. I know there's timidity, there's folks who are timid to get up and speak in front of a group, but the Lord will give you grace. If the Lord has called you, there never was a more timid person in the world than the old trailblazer. I tell folks, I was so green, the geese followed me around. I was a country bumpkin out here in the country, raised on a little old farm, didn't have no education to speak of, high school education, but back then there wasn't much to that, and my folks were poor and didn't have any education, and I was reluctant to even answer the phone. When I went to work for a business, a man leave me there to answer the phone, I was even reluctant to answer it because I wasn't sure what to say or what to do. The Lord gives you faith to come over all those things, my friend. Listen, you say you have faith. It doesn't drive you out there after the souls of men. If it doesn't lead you in the prayer chamber praying for the souls of men, you don't have any faith. If you do, it's a dead faith. Now, there is a faith, there's a demon's faith. They believe in God and tremble, James 2:19. There's many an individual today, members of our churches and in the pulpits, they have what we call demon's faith. They believe in God and tremble. And a lot of them don't even believe, and a lot of them don't even tremble. Then there's a faith by coercion or by force. One of the saddest things that I've ever had to face is that faith is produced by coercion or by force. What do you mean by that, Trailblazer? I mean that under the preaching of someone, you're forced to take a stand and say you believe. It just bombards you. You got to come out and say, listen, you know where that faith comes from? It's produced by the individual corrupt nature. And he works up his faith by praying, Bible reading, and it's just worked up faith. It's a faith by coercion. You don't want folks to think you're not doing the thing that's right. You've got an eye on the other fella. What do they think about you? No. You got to just keep. But listen, we've got a few that I've met through the lifetime. That's one of the saddest things to me is a covering up, a condition I call forced faith. They have nothing, no reality of Christ, and yet they, what I call, fake it. It's just a faking. Then there's a creature, or presumptuous faith. That individual presumes that he believes the promises and believes the word, and it's a faith of his own creation. You read it, you make yourself believe it, you presume that you believe it. Now, there's always if the Lord won't leave you there. There's always that still an emptiness there, in a void, an uneasy fear that things are not right. Then we come on down, there's a spiritual faith, which is a gift of God only. That's the faith we'll talk about at this time. This faith is produced in us by the sovereign act of the Holy Spirit when he applies a word in our souls, wrought there by the Holy Spirit. Call it conviction if you want to, but that faith is produced. It's not your faith. It's the faith of the Son of God. Now, I want us to look at that faith for just a little while. We'll have a time we have left, and then we'll take it up again. That faith is divinely sustained. Now, you listen. If you ever listen, listen. You say, how can you tell the difference? That faith is divinely sustained. Such divine faith cannot be self-sustained in any way. There's no energy of the flesh, no will of the man that can sustain that faith. It's there. And the Lord keeps that active by pouring on the oil of grace. Did you know that salvation is all of grace, my friend? Everything that you ever will have is by grace. I often stop and think, you know, if you tell me that you know the Lord, and I get phone calls and emails from folks all over America telling me that they're saved and they know when they were saved and such, and if they do, it's all of grace. You didn't have anything to do with it. You know, the Lord don't have to save. He doesn't have to save anybody. The Lord doesn't have to save you. The old fella out there ranting and raving because the old trailblazer stepped on his toes. The Lord don't have to save you. No, sir. All the Lord has to do for an individual to go to hell is to leave him alone. You say, well, there you go again, trailblazer, talking about hell. Well, my friend, hell is a living reality. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And the Bible says, there at the great white throne, depart from me, I never knew you. And they were cast into the outer darkness. Those things are in the Bible, my friend. I don't come here spouting off stuff that I make up. No, this is the Bible. It's God's Word. And we've often make this statement here. Here's God's Word. I hold it up in my hand. Believe it and be saved. Did you know you can do that? You believe God's Word. Trust the Lord. You be saved. If not, believe it, doubt it, skeptic, make a skeptic out of yourself, and criticize it, and just be lost eternally. That's that. Did you know the Lord not to blame for you not being saved? I have folks tell me, oh, the Lord just hadn't saved me yet, Pastor. Well, the Lord won't save you till you come to Him. Did you know that? You can preach everything you want to preach, but if you don't get up and come to the Lord, you'll never be saved. Like the man there at the pool, the Lord told him, said, take up thy bed and walk. And he got up and walked. He did. He got up and walked. Salvation is an active thing, my friend. It's not a passive thing. You don't have anything to do with it, but you have a responsibility. Those people there in the wilderness that they put the brazen serpent on a pole, they had to look. They had to turn their eyes towards that brazen serpent and look, or they'd have died. But, my friend, we run out of time already. It's so good to be with you folks. I wish you'd remember me and write me. And remember, if you would, pray for the old trailblazers. We go out day by day, riding old Dan, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. My only aim here is for folks to come to know the Lord. Oh, my friend, what a great day it would be to meet you over there on Canaan's shore. This is the Old Trailblazer. My mailing address, the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And my website, radiomissions.org. Go there and look us up. You'll find much information about the broadcast.